Okay, everyone, welcome to another exhilarating episode of Not So Common Sense. So, this podcast is going to be about a certain someone, Christine Ohm. You may have heard of her. Yeah. You probably already know what I'm going to talk about. But I have a video here from Reese Waters. I definitely love this guy. He, you know, has a few channels and series up that go over things. Like, he go over the races of the week and street politics, which just come from. He had two series like that that deals with things like that. And he keeps it pretty real. And I love it. So I'm going to use his video real quick as he leads the smackdown on Christine Ohm, and I just love for you guys to listen in, because as you will hear, she goes on and does, like, with Chris Christie says, the, you know, 25 second political, you know, little political statement that she always do, because, you know, she's a robotic individual, she's not human. She's a politician, and they always have that, you know, that go-to statement, and every time they need to say it, you know, he was talking about Marco Rubio during that time period, during the election. I don't know if he goes on to it on this one, because probably, you know, I don't think he talked about it. Yeah, it was actually the Majority Report with Sam Cedar that talked about it. I was listening to a podcast and he brought it up, but pretty much she does the same thing, goes on to that ubiquitous stage statement that they were rehearsing, her and her team rehearsed over and over and over again, the fact that she met with a bunch of world leaders, and she's not going to talk about which world leaders she met with, and but she talked with a bunch of world leaders and met with a bunch of world leaders. That statement, you're going to hear it. Trust me, you're going to hear it, and you're going to say, yep, it's that 25-second statement that she has to regurgitate and rinse and repeat. Now, I understand journalism, you don't want to lose access to somebody, nor do you want to open yourself up to any type of lawsuit. So you allow for them to play the petulant child and continue to basically lie. That's not me. I'm sorry, that's not. If I came across Christine Ohm, definitely during an interview, I would just tell her, can you just stop blatantly lying? You know, I can tell that you're 100% lying. Can we stop playing games and tell the damn truth? Now, he's going to go over the fact that, yes, she killed her dog. It's quite funny that a white woman can kill a dog and not go to jail. But if you're black and do it, you go to jail. Ask Michael Vick. Yeah. Nah. The thing is that the idea is that dogs were mistreated by Michael Vick, which was at his house. It was being mistreated at his house. So since it's his property, he's responsible for it. He wasn't actually there during the mistreating of the dog and the dog fights. By the way, just in case you guys didn't know, he was not directly there. He was not directly doing the dog fighting. It was just happening at his property, which he had multiple of. She actually took the dog into her yard, a puppy, by the way, 14-month-old puppy, not even 2 years old, basically, and took a shotgun and shot it in his head. killing it. And she bragged about it. Saying, oh, she can do the hardest, make the hard decisions. Because she's trying to make that as a, you know, use that as some type of campaign thing to show that she can make those hard decisions.
She's like,
yeah. She's going for Trump's VP, by the way. I don't know. If you need to kill it, kill it. But anyway, I'm going to play this video so you guys can listen in too.
It was brought to my attention. I certainly made some changes.
Out here sounding like me lying to my mama at 7 years old. Are those cookies under your bed? I'm glad you brought that to my attention. Street politics. My name is Reese Waters. Thank you for joining me, and don't forget to like the video and subscribe to the page. It all started as an uproar over a dog named Cricket.
South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem released a new book. The Guardian got its hands on a copy, and the outlet is flagging a section in which she describes killing her dog named Cricket.
I told you.
It's
Frank.
You go take it.
Hey,
I told you.
Get it, please.
I'm about to go get something to eat.
A tray. Can you get this, please?
Acting like a bitch.
I don't know where the hell it is.
You get up, you see it.
That was a straw paper. It wasn't even on it. Stop bitching.
Trey, why would you throw it in the floor?
Yeah, it wasn't a straw paper. There you go. Stop bitching. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I told you he's going to talk about it.
Get it.
I told you he's going to talk about it. He talked about it. She took her 2-year-old puppy named Cricket and killed it. And put it in the book. By the way, she also did the audiobook for this thing. So she read it out loud. So anything that's in this book that she, of course, may not say really wrote, but created, is on her. This is her stories, her life, things that she did. So yeah, there's no one to blame but her for real.
A whole video about that, the link is in the bio. But what started as an uproar over a dog named Cricket has now ballooned into a full-fledged career killer for Kristi Noem.
Rescues, and I have a puppy. I gotta tell you, you know what she's done is she sabotaged herself, whether or not it was to, you know, buttress what was coming down the road. But she also managed to unite the right and the left, because America, if nothing else, we are dog lovers. Mm-hmm. And don't tell me you shot a pup because it wasn't used to hunting. You know, maybe you're not a good teacher.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a problem. And with this whole thing with the chickens, you know, were the chickens dead? Was your dog on their property? Should you have your dog on a leash? Should your farm have been fenced? I can go on and on because I love dogs.
I mean, when you lose Janine Pirro, it is over. She wakes up every day with express purpose to say things that make you think she was a judge.
Right.
Never accuse me. Wait a minute. You listen to me.
Sitting on your butt with your friends, pontificating. Pervert, I'm talking to you. Who has a drug problem, an alcohol problem? Just the other day, the president talked or was hoping.
He's talking about Janine Pirro, by the way. Yeah, she wanted to talk about people having an alcohol and drug problem when she literally routinely turns up to work pretty much drunk. It's lost. Yeah.
Wasn't on board. Now, most people would have said, you know what, that's it. That's it. I'm just going to go and retire to my ranch in the Dakotas in between the chickens and the gravel pit. But South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem decided she needed to go on a press tour. And as we do, if you want more, we'll give you more.
So you write about lessons learned in leadership, and you bring up some specific incidents I want to ask you about. You talk about meeting some world leaders and one specific one. Quote, I remember when I met with North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un, I'm sure he underestimated me, having no clue about my experience staring down little tyrants. I've been a children's pastor after all.
So, she's out here in this book trying to make herself look tough. She's doing that by going out here and saying this statement about Kim Jong-un, right? She's saying she met Kim Jong-un and basically they had a stare down. And he cowered before her. And she's saying that she had experience staring down little people because she was a children's pastor, right? Youth pastor, right? Make sure you understand this. She's saying she met Kim Jong-un. There's no ambiguity here. You can't, when you, the sentence start with, I remember when I met North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un. That first sentence says there's no ambiguity. You didn't say anything about the demilitarized zone, which she has been to. This is North Korea. You went to North Korea directly. Now, I heard a bunch of people talk about this here before. You know, I was listening to David Pakman, and he tried to give her an out by saying maybe she, you know, met with him in a, you know, undisclosed meeting that she, no, she's saying she actually met this man and everyone knew about it. There's no ambiguity here. She just blatantly fucking lied.
Did you meet Kim Jong-un?
You know, as soon as this was brought to my attention, I certainly made some changes and looked at this passage. And I've met with many, many world leaders. I've traveled around the world.
We didn't ask you about meeting with many, many world leaders or traveling around the world. We asked you if you met with Kim Jong-un. And that's a yes or no question.
As soon as it was brought to my attention, we went forward and have made some edits. So I'm glad that this book is being released in a couple of days and that those edits will be in place and that people will have the updated version.
So you lied. So you lied. So you lied. You lied. Because you met with many world leaders. A yes or no would be, yeah, I met with Kim Jong-un. If you didn't, you would just say, no, I didn't. I didn't meet with him.
Go with as soon as it was brought to my attention, as if we were just going to glaze past the fact that something is in your book that hadn't been brought to your attention. Is the entire book a work of fiction written by somebody else who's never actually met you? I need to know why there's a portion in your book that needed to be brought to your attention. Oh, that was slick, wasn't it? Yeah, you think you slick. Out here sounding like me lying to my mama at 7 years old. Are those Are those cookies under your bed? I'm glad you brought that to my attention.
So you did not meet with
her? Yeah, she brought that to my attention. And here she goes, a 25-second, you know, statement that they were rehearsed again and again and again. She's literally goes, press the repeat button. Press the repeat button.
No, I met with many, many world leaders.
That is a yes or no question. That is a yes or no question. I gotta try that sometime. It looks here like you have an 8-year break in your work history. What happened? You know, I met with many, many world leaders. Yeah, yeah, I travel around the world. Anybody we know? It was a lot of them.
Many world leaders. I've traveled around the world. I think I've talked extensively in this book about my time serving in Congress, my time as governor, before governor, some of the travels that I've had. I'm not going to talk about my specific meetings with world leaders. I'm just not going to do that.
I mean, except you wrote a book about your experiences and have a specific passage about meeting a world leader that is in question. What the hell is you talking about?
This anecdote shouldn't have been in the book, and as soon as it was brought to my attention, I made sure that that was adjusted. So the book is not released until Tuesday, and so we're doing all that we can to make sure that those changes are made.
Okay, so I think I got the game. You just put a bunch of fake stories in the book to see if it flies, and you release copies prematurely, and then whatever gets called out gets pulled out the book, and then you publish the rest. Is that it?
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. The point is, she was releasing this book. She's blatantly lying throughout the motherfucking book. Habitually lying. Almost the whole book is a complete and utter false. Except for the fact she killed that damn dog, right? She just going ham, lying. In her mind, she's thinking, all right, this book is going to conservatives. Ain't no motherfucking conservatives going to fucking read. They don't fucking read? Conservatives? Fucking reading? They don't fucking read? You're going to push this out there, let it get out there early, so a bunch of, you know, organizations can, you know, buy some fucking kindling by, you know, bulk buying a bunch of the books so she can get on the New York Times bestseller, because that's what they do all the time, by the way. If you don't believe me, just go on the New York Times bestseller or Amazon bestseller on the bestseller books list and just see if they got an asterisk next to their name. They will. A lot of times they'll let them know there had been a bunch of bulk buying going on, because a bunch of organizations would just bulk buy a bunch of books. Sometimes it'll be a bunch of audio books or online books and shit like that, where it'll be a bunch of links where they just let sit in the email and disappear, or they just delete the shit, basically trying to fake as if there's some interest in this book when it really isn't. Conservatives do it all the time. And you seen conservatives. They out there wearing fucking diapers and shit. They don't read. Them motherfuckers don't read. They got limited teeth. They got more teeth than they got brain cells. And they got basically all 32 missing. They dumb as hell. They don't have brain cells. They definitely ain't reading. They have a war on education. They definitely not reading. And she expected to be able to get away with that because she's dealing with conservatives. And she's like, they obviously not going to be reading this shit. So I should be able to put this out there. Talk about killing my dog. Talk about meeting Kim Jong-un and staring him down and acting tough. And get away with it. But oh my God, there's more than conservatives out there in the world now, isn't it? And journalists got this shit. And now she's embarrassed.
I'm going to continue to focus on what this book is and the blueprint that it lays out for the American citizen on all of the things in the background and stories of my life, but also what I think that needs to be identified in politics and what's broken today. I talk about how broken the money game is.
Oh, you mean something like the estate tax story you built your career on?
How broken it is that we've got consultants that are getting rich off of elected officials, and then how fake some elected politicians are.
I'm sorry.
Right. By the way, he showed the old picture of her and how she looked like a goddamn grandma. Now she looking like a supermodel because she got a bunch of plastic surgery done on her fucking ass.
Did you just say how fake some elected officials are?
Every single person in this country.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. They do it all the time. Botox all throughout the body, mostly through the face. You can tell because her eyes don't seem like it fit her goddamn face, like she got a mask on. Yeah, talk about being fake. And then lying.
You want someone in elected office that's a human being that doesn't say they're perfect. I take responsibility for that being in the book, and as soon as it was brought to my attention, I asked for it to be changed. So I'm glad that the release date is in a couple of days, and we're excited to talk to America about my new book, No Going Back.
That was bad.
That was bad.
You know, maybe she needs another shot. You know, and maybe her earpiece was messed up and she couldn't hear the repeated, pointed, and specific questions that she refused to answer. You know what? Why don't she go ahead and get a do-over?
Talk first, but we want to talk about a lot of topics that you address in the book. But the book is called No Going Back, but it sounds like the publisher, Center Street, is going back on a couple of the details.
Well done. That girl good.
Yeah, that girl good.
That girl good.
Person, let's talk first, but we want to talk about a lot of topics that you address in the book. But the book is called No Going Back, but it sounds like the publisher, Center Street, is going back on a couple of the details in the book. Specifically, when you write in the book, I remember when I met with North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un. I'm sure he underestimated me. That, as I understand, is now being removed from the book at your request.
Yes, when I became aware of that, we changed the content and the future editions will be adjusted. And, I appreciate that. I've met with many, many world leaders. I've traveled
around. I told you, man, but many world leaders travel the world. Yeah. You get your 25-second rehearsed statement out that y'all and your publishers kept saying that. And whatnot, I kept telling you to tell. Yeah. She goes on to saying that bullshit, diarrhea at the mouth. You can literally ignore her ass. I mean, really, you know, press the mute button and let her go ahead and talk. You know the same shit she's gonna say, because she's always saying the same shit. I'm meeting with world leaders, and I met with different world leaders around the world, traveled around the world, and talked with different world leaders. Yada. Yeah, we said Kim Jong-un. You never met with him. Since, like, again, I don't know how, like, they got the will of God these journalists have, because I would have straight up said it to her face. All right, so you didn't meet with Kim Jong-un? Yeah, so you did, because if you did meet with him, you would easily said it. You met with Donald Trump, right? Oh, you can say you did meet with Donald Trump easily. So you can. Met with Donald Trump. You said met with Donald Trump. You know when you met with him. Yeah. But you can't say you met with Kim Jong-un. Because you never did. What's up? You good? You good?
No.
What's wrong? Let the video play a little bit.
Just running down a laundry list of the people that you've met and the places that you've been, and you threw in Kim Jong-un and North Korea. Maybe, I might give you, you know what, you traveled a lot, you met a bunch of people, and You may have thought you met him and you didn't when you were trying to remember these things. Except you said you stared him down like a little tyrant and maybe he had underestimated you. You tried to cut a whole promo on a North Korean dictator when you ain't even met the dude. No.
Exactly. Same thing I'm saying. Told you, she tried to make herself seem tough. And she just fucking straight up lied. You cut a promo on Kim Jong-un, trying to make yourself seem tough, as if you actually met this dude.
Is that a bug?
Golly, girl, you want to make sure everything's a goddamn bug. No.
What is that?
Why you start paying attention to marks and shit in this room?
I'm not just paying attention to the tray.
You want a shoe?
No. But you're gonna get up and kill me.
But goddamn, as you can see, straight up fucking lying. She cut a promo against Kim Jong-un to try to make herself seem tough. And she lied. That's like me talking about how I came across Brock Lesnar. Oh, I remember a time when I came across Brock Lesnar. He's all acting all tough, sticking his chest out and shit. Walked past me. I gave him a look. He came up to me, and I punched him straight in the jaw and knocked him out one good time. Yeah, how many of y'all believe that shit? You shouldn't. Cause ain't no goddamn way I'm knocking out Brock Lesnar with a one punch. This motherfucker take more rights and left in the UFC than anybody else. He don't got a glass jaw. Be real with yourselves. Ain't no way this skinny of a rail that's barely 215 pounds is gonna knock this dude, knock that almost 300 pound dude out. 300 pounds of pure muscle. That ain't happening. That's the same shit that about the same exact shit what happened with Christy Noem. She ain't meet that goddamn Kim Jong-un. She ain't meet that nigga, period. And she tried to cut a promo that doesn't make any goddamn sense. Why would he be afraid of you? And you try to say that you dealt with little tyrants at your damn church. What type of shit are you dealing with at your pathetic ass church? What these kids are up to? Man, if they don't, if they are on the same level of an actual dictator. Well, she is white, so, yeah, you know, school shooters are all around those type of people. They just create them. They come out the woodwork. Hey. Ethan Crumbly does exist. Look at his parents. Gave him a gun, knowing full well that kid was writing about shooting people and shooting up his school. Gave him a gun anyway, and what do you expect that he did with it? Shot up his school. His parents were on the run. Now they in jail just with the same with the motherfucker. You know, rock comes from the head down.
You don't get I've traveled around the world and seen a lot of people. What you think this is all the places you'll go?
That specific
how,
didn't happen.
How, I'm saying that I'm not talking about that meeting. I'm not talking about my meetings with world leaders. There's some that are in the book. There's some that are in the book, and then there's some that's not in the book.
Who raised y'all?
Who raised y'all?
I just need to know who raised y'all. I don't for the life of me understand how you go with I've met with many different leaders, and I'm not at liberty to discuss my meetings with certain leaders. When you're asked about a specific leader that you talked about meeting, that you're now having to remove from your book. I need to know who told you that was a suitable answer to that question.
Right.
Actually, specific mentions of meeting Kim Jong-un and talking about him and a specific memory. I'm sure he underestimated me, having no clue about my experience staring down little tyrants. Did you tell your ghostwriter you right know, now? I specifically have worked on policy for over 30 years. And over that time, I have traveled around the world and I have met with leaders around the world. And that anecdote, I've asked them to change the content and it will be removed.
Oh, it's going up.
Question, did you or did you not?
That's the answer that I have for you, is that it will be adjusted.
Now, mind you, there's also pushback about a Nikki Haley anecdote where she got the year wrong and she says she was threatened by Nikki Haley, but Nikki Haley's camp says that, no, we reach out to lots of people. We have no idea what the hell she's talking
about.
Now, here's the thing about lying. When you sit there and tell me that I'm not at liberty to discuss my meetings with world leaders, I've traveled the world and met lots of people, and that's your response to being asked about meeting Kim Jong-un, and you're removing it from the book, I'll believe anybody else over you at this point.
Like,
I
right.
If somebody came and told me that they were the real governor of South Dakota, I would have to believe them, because your credibility is negative. This couldn't possibly get any worse.
You talk multiple times about it. In fact, at the end of the book, you say the very first thing you would do if you got to the White House that was different from Joe Biden is you'd make sure Joe Biden's dog was nowhere on the grounds. Commander, say hello to Cricket. Are you doing this to...
Commander, say hello to Cricket. So she's saying she will kill Joe Biden's dog. There is no other way beyond that. Straight up. You're literally trying to say you will kill Joe Biden's dog. You will shoot and kill Joe Biden's dog. Because how the fuck else would his dog be to say hello to your dead one? I mean, at some point in time, we gotta stop and act like grown-ass adults. Act if, you know, that she's not a child and she's not making, you know, these statements out of whole cloth. And like, oh, she didn't make these statements. Like, some ghostwriter just came up and started making statements up and saying shit that she said. No, this is her damn book. She, again, I don't know if he's gonna say it, but she did the auto book on this thing. She read the book out loud. So eventually you had to come across this statement about, you know, Commander. And it's like, oh, wait. I literally did say that, you know, it's okay to kill Joe Biden's dog. You know? That I would take Joe Biden's dog and kill it. Right? I did state that yeah.
To try to look tough, do you still think that you have a shot at being a VP?
First of all, I have no idea what she's being paid, but give her a raise.
Are you doing this to try to look tough? Do you still think that you have a shot at being a VP?
That was phenomenal. More questions need to be asked. Followed by, did you do this because you thought it made you look tough? That is well done. That is well done. And then double down that with, do you think you still got a shot?
Right.
Hell yeah.
Are you doing this to try to look tough? Do you still think that you have a shot at being a VP?
Well, number one, Joe Biden's dog has attacked 24 Secret Service people. So how many people is enough...
So, she definitely shot and killed her dog, right, by the way. You ain't no way in hell, you, at the statement you just made, that you can say, well, nah, that definitely didn't happen. Nah, you shot and killed that dog, definitely. You wouldn't have said this statement if you didn't. And you can hear, she's trying to make excuses for killing the dog. Killing the dog. The dog bit a few Secret Service agents. Dog's bite. My wife has a dog. We have a dog here. It bit me. It's not dead. I'll tell you that. Now, there are certain dogs that are certain size.
I'm trying to nip that.
and
it was playing with
certain sizes that can do damage with their bites.
All those, if they
might, I'm talking about, you know, like severe damage, like a Rottweiler, a German Shepherd, okay. But you don't automatically put bullets in their head. This is the reason why I say that everyone should have a fucking gun, and you should be able to take guns away from people. The first thing that makes you into a serial killer and a mass shooter is killing animals. Because you feel as though animals don't have real importance. And if you start killing those, you start to move to certain people that you start feeling don't have much importance. Black people. Minorities. Classmates. Schoolmates. Regular people on the street. That's why we shouldn't be afraid to say, yeah, we need to take guns away from people. Don't give me this bullshit about, oh, your rights. You have a bunch of rights that we take away from you. Again, yeah, free, you have the right to free speech. But if you go on a goddamn TV screen talking about how you're going to kill the president, let's see how long that's going to last. Oh. That's not going to work. Well, yeah, the free speech right there. You can say whatever the hell you want, however you want, whenever you want. You know? You can call every black person the N-word. Oh, wait, that's not going to work? Oh. Why? That's the First Amendment. Right, we had. But we curtailed the fuck out of it. We should do the same with the second. By the way, it even tells you that you need to be a well-regulated militia. I can guarantee 100% of the individuals who had those guns are not a part of a well-regulated militia. They are not well-regulated. Most of the motherfuckers don't know what they're doing with a gun. They just point and shooting and call it a day. Trust me. 100%. Yes, I said it. You can't, most people say you can't call, hey, 100%. Yeah, I can. I don't care. You say, well, I'm ex-Marine. I don't give a shit. You don't know what you're doing with that damn gun. Because even you would do something as jacked up stupid as, like, take the damn gun and brandish it on television, on a camera, on Facebook or social media posts or something dumb like that. Your brain is the damn thing. Yeah. Let the video play a little bit more.
People to be attacked and dangerously hurt before you make a decision on a dog. And
well,
what
he's
to
not
do
living at the White
that's
House.
That's a question that the president should be held accountable to.
You're saying he should be shot?
The president should be accountable.
You say he should be
what
shot?
What is the number? And I would say about Republicans' criticism.
And again, dodge the question, not trying to answer it, because she is saying yes, the dog should be put down. It's a dog should be shot and killed. Because if you didn't, you wouldn't bring up your dog that you killed. Again, for those people out there that vote Republican, people out there who vote for Donald Trump, this is the Republican Party. The party that wears diapers. The party that shoots and kills dogs. The party of white supremacy and racism. The party that hate women. There's nothing positive about being a Republican. I'm sorry. Just saying. You hear this idiot on national television national television. You can't just say, well, yeah, no. Okay, I spoke out of turn. You know, in the book, I do try to portray myself as a tough, you know, as a tough conservative Republican. I try to do that, but as you see, there's things that once you read back and understand how it sounds, it definitely doesn't portray me as tough. It portrays me as weak. You know, not a good leader. Someone who makes bad decisions. That's not me. I make great decisions. My, you know, tenure as governor is all the, you know, insurance you need to prove to show that I make great decisions. That's why I keep getting reelected. That's the reason why I was elected. I'm sorry, I'm trying to steel man this stuff. Because the cringe is so embarrassing. It really is. The cringe is that embarrassing. That you come on national television. And you can't properly defend yourself. And you have a whole team behind you. And not just some regular black dude. And can tell this. Get rid of the political statement that you always make. Be human. Because the more human you are, the more likely it is for you to get by a situation like this. Seriously. This is going to be where I end the podcast, guys. Because she's an embarrassment. She's a complete embarrassment. I can't handle it. I can't handle it anymore. I gotta get her off my daggone TV screen. This lady is complete embarrassment. Not only does she look as fake as hell, she doesn't even look human. She doesn't even sound it. She, ChatGPT has finally gotten into the government because that's what she looks like and sounds like. She sounds like ChatGPT. And I gotta get this machine off of my TV screens. So this is gonna be my ending, guys. Later. Okay, everyone. Welcome to another exhilarating episode of Not So Common Sense. So, this episode is going to deal with, well, Vivek Ramaswamy. I know, Vivek, I thought he was done. The election is over with. Well, he got embarrassed to his face by Ann Coulter. Yes, I'm going to admit it. It was sweet. It was delicious. It was everything you can think of. This meal was perfectly served. To see this idiot get what he deserves. This is another example of the leopard eating my face type of thing. That's what I'm talking about. He gets exactly what you would expect. You know full well what's going to happen. You see it coming. And there's no way you can stop it. Really, it is. There's no way you can stop it. It's going to happen regardless. There's nothing you can do. Just let it happen. We knew that this was going to happen. That he's going to get embarrassed. And going to get told to his face. That. the Republican Party, the Conservative Party, is not the party of inclusion. No shit. I mean, they already stated beforehand, one Republican already stated that the Democrats look more like America, while the Republicans look like the most exclusive country club in America. Look it up. It was actually stated by a Republican. And guess what? It happened to Vivid's face. He was confronted with it. So I have a video from the amazing Lucas. I love this guy. He's good as shit. He's going to talk about it a little bit more. To add the juicy details that y'all are definitely going to need. Because, yeah, it is that good.
Of inclusion.
Let me go ahead.
Delusion of inclusion.
Yup, delusion of inclusion.
Oh my goodness. So I just finished watching probably one of the greatest interviews of this year. And it's an interview between Vivek Ramaswamy and Ann Coulter. Now,
yes, it is delicious. Ann Coulter is the most whitest chick you ever seen. She's the epitome of MAGA. This is the only type of woman that you will see in MAGA. Blonde head, blue eyed, Nazi. And here you go. Vivek Ramaswamy. And it's embarrassing.
Let me just say, I'm not a big fan of either one of them. More of a fan of Ann Coulter than Vivek Ramaswamy, because at least she acknowledges the distinction between Black Americans and immigrants, and how, you know, Civil Rights Act is for Black Americans. So I'll give her props there. A lot of other stuff, not really a big fan of, but Vivek Ramaswamy,
The Civil Rights Act was for Black Americans. It's just the fact that everyone else benefited. No shit. Everyone knows that. We're not mad that everyone else benefited. We're Black. Of course, we want everyone else to benefit. That's okay. Okay. You Latino and everybody else benefited? Yeah. Because we don't give a damn about discrimination. Why would you want to discriminate? You're not allowed to. Who cares?
I'm God's green earth. But this interview is the manifestation of what everyone has been saying, including myself, the illusion of inclusion. Because when it comes to immigrants, when it comes to immigrants in this country, which is something that I despise, not immigrants, but the behavior patterns of many of them who come here, especially when they get into the political arena, is that what they are taught is respectability politics. So they're under the impression that if they just behave and they articulate and they talk well and they do as, you know, the white Republicans do, that they'll be, you know, included. They'll be accepted.
Yeah, Candace Owens, right? Remember her? Yeah, very big person that was a part of the Conservative Party, was, you know, let into all the, you know, get-togethers and whatnot. Right? And what happened? They got exactly what you expected. She's now trying to go and look for, you know, Black people to let her back into the cookout.
You want the light on?
No. She's looking for people to let her back into the cookout. She's trying to sing the Fresh Prince Bel Air theme, right? Going on to, you know, the Breakfast Club and all that, right? Trying to mingle with the Black people. It's like, oh, remember me, y'all? Yeah. Oh, yeah, I know I talk mad shit about all the Black people. I just trash everything that about Black people. I celebrated everything that was about the racist white man. I did everything that the racist white man told me to do and beyond. Yes, I was a coon among all coons. Yes, indeed, I showed my ass. But forget that. let me back in, because now they kick me out. Right? That's what she's doing. And he's saying the same thing about the rest of these guys and girls, right? Because that's what happens. This is like everyone else. Just like if you go on TikTok and see all blacks for Trump, they, most of them are trying to get farm for reactions, right? Most of them try to farm for reactions and try to get people to react. Because they know, oh my God, why would you be black and be for Donald Trump? I don't even deal with them that much anymore. I just had you just trying to get reactions and try to get people to, you know, comment and shit on your page and video and shit like that. So I don't really don't give a shit. You know, you're a dumbass and get the whip across your back once Donald Trump becomes dictator anyway. And be the first person, just like Candace Owens, running to the black community saying, oh yeah, remember me, guys? Yeah, yeah, yeah. I never was for those, for that. Oh, you voted for Donald Trump. Yeah, 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 you did.
Okay. And that's never how it works out. That's never how it is. You may be tolerated, but you will never be included. They will never see you as American, because an American to them is a white person. That's how they see it. I'm not saying all, but the vast majority of the Republican Party, the core of the Republican Party, that's how they view it, unfortunately. When you have...
Yes, that's exactly how I put it. Now, he says some liberals... Most of those individuals aren't really liberals, they're conservatives. You know, they're not really, you know, liberals. You know, they try to say that they're, if they are, they're not progressives. You know, they're not leftists. They're fake. You know, try to cover themselves in things that are considered, you know, things that are on the left, right? They're lying. You know, you're, Robert Kennedy's, you know, trying to make himself seem as if he's someone that's part of the left and a Democrat, and he literally had a brain worm, a MAGA brain worm in his head, and he's conservatives all get out. Like, what you expect? Right? What the hell did you expect? You're conservative. You're literally getting all your support from Trump supporters. And people who don't want to support Trump. Republicans who don't want to support Trump. All of it is there.
Have someone who is just unapologetic as Ann Coulter, respective of no person, talking to Vivek, who is doing his best, because that's what he does. He tries to play respectability politics. He tries to placate to the white majority. And that's the funny part, which is why they're so fearful of the demographic shift. Because all these people, all these pundits, all these, you know, Candace Owens, all these individuals who have set and built their foundation on placating to the white majority, the white ignorant majority of the country, they're going to be jobless once that demographic changes. Because now they'll no longer be the majority. They will be a minority. They're either going to have to switch it up and betray their base, or they're going to disappear. They're going to go blow away like the wind. Because they'll...
Yeah. And he's right. Because that's the reason why they're so fearful of the Great Replacement. Because now the white person is going to be the minority. What you going to do then?
There'll be a relic of the past. So that's why this is so delicious. Because Vivek has built his foundation because he's a con man, right? He didn't live the American dream. He built his wealth off of repackaging a failed product. That's what he did. That's if you look into him. Having said that, he does everything in his power to make his white constituents feel good. He just regurgitates their talking points. That's all he does. There is no unique thought about him. And to prove my point, like he even admits, he hasn't voted, bro. He's not taking place in the, you know, the political process and his rights as an American citizen. He doesn't care about any of that.
Yes, and that's the truth. He hasn't voted. He hasn't participated in voting, which is, by the way, if you hear him talk about things like voter ID, how are you going to need a voter ID, Vivek, when you never even tried to vote. Maybe you might want to go to a precinct and see how easy it is to vote and also how secure it is. You know? And you can also see how many Latinos that are undocumented actually come and vote. It ain't a lot, if any.
He's a conman. He was a conman in business. He's a conman in the political arena. And just a final note for when it comes to Vivek Ramaswamy, because I know there's people out there who really love Vivek. They're like, oh, I really like him. Let me just say this. Vivek will get my vote as president of the United States when he makes India great again. Okay, your parents are from India. You're an immigrant. Okay, that's pretty much what you are. You're an anchor baby. Okay, your homeland is India. My homeland is the U.S. We are not the same. So you go
make
India great again, Vivek, and then I'll listen to you. How about that? You go and make India great again, and then maybe I'll listen to you about how you can make America great again, or what are some ideas and thoughts and some laws and regulations that you think would benefit the American people here. Go implement that in India. You go ahead and make that great again, and you got my vote, pimpin'. You got my vote. You go and prove yourself over there instead of being a leech off of Black Americans here and what we've built.
Right. That,
the interview is amazing.
Here we go. This is the thing I've been waiting for. The thing that I came back here for the second part for. Just so you guys can hear. Don't forget this. I want y'all to picture in your mind, because you can't see the video. It's a basic, you know, interview that you will have like on nightly news or on, you know, where you got two people who are appearing from different locations, right? You got your one window with one person in there, and then you got the other one with the other person in there. And Vivek Ramaswamy is literally seeing it directly to his goddamn face. Ann Coulter does this directly to his face. He gets every syllable right. I want to make sure you understand that. He sees and feels and acknowledges every punctuation of what she's about to say to him. And he has to sit there and take it, because he's on the right. He's a right wing idiot. This is the reason why I say this to those idiot niggas who think that they can actually go out there and support the right wing. This is how they feel about you. They will never, ever, ever, ever had to go to Chris Jericho support you. Period. Tim Scott ran for president. He never got beyond 1% of the vote. Never breached it. He had no chance. If Donald Trump ran or not, they were never voting for him because he was Black. Vivek Ramaswamy gets told this to his face, that they will never support you. Period. Not lying. Directly to his face. Listen.
Coulter starts off with complimenting him on how articulate he is, right? She's like, I can't say this about, you know, the Black Americans, because that'll be derogatory. That'll be an insult. And Vivek laughs it up, right? Just,
You are so bright and articulate, and I guess I can call you articulate since you're not an American Black. Can't say that about
me. And yup, he's sitting there chumming it up, loving it, loving it, loving it. He eating it. Yes, I'm not a nigga. Right, he's loving it. but Ann Coulter is right-wing Trump supporter. She tells you to your face that this is a white man's world, and you cannot be in it. She tells him it to his face. This is a white man's world. Not just country, world. Every square inch belongs to them. And she tells this to his face. Listen.
And that's derogatory. And that was a great opening segment.
The funny part about that statement is that throughout this entire interview, she's essentially saying that you're an immigrant. And because you're an immigrant, I don't trust you. That is the gist of this entire conversation with Ann Coulter. She even wrote a book on it, Adios America. Her whole purpose is like, you're an immigrant, I don't really trust you, Vivek, because you're an immigrant. And to bolster my point, she follows it up with, I like you, I wish you the best, but I'll never vote for you because you're an Indian.
Oh, and I agree with many.
You heard. He said it. You think it's just him? Oh, no. She's about to tell it to him. To his damn face. That there will be, you can have everything you can support, everything that I want, you can like everything that I like, you can be for everything that I'm for. But don't get this twisted, baby. I can never vote for you. I can never support you. Because you're not white. Listen.
Many things you said during, in fact, probably more than most other candidates when you were running for president, but I still would not have voted for you because you're an Indian.
Right there, because you are brown. I can never vote for you because you're brown. I hate brown skin. Skinned individuals, every shade of brown I hate, and I can never support you, Vivid. You can hear her say it. Listen to it yet again. It's so sweet.
Many things you said during, in fact, probably more than most other candidates when you were running for president, but I still would not have voted for you because you're an Indian. In fact, probably more than most other candidates when you were running for president, but I still would not have voted for you because you're an Indian.
Listen to it.
In fact, probably more than most other candidates when you were running for president, but I still would not have voted for you because you're an Indian.
Directly to his face.
In fact, probably more than most other candidates when you were running for president, but I still would not have voted for you because you're an Indian.
Listen to it. Listen to the racism.
When you were running for president, but I still would not have voted for you because you're an Indian.
Listen to it.
In fact, probably more than most other candidates when you were running for president, but I still would not have voted for you because you're an Indian.
Directly to his face. He had to take it. Because that's how it always is when you're in the conservative party. You always eventually come face to face with it. Log cabin Republicans come face to face with it. They don't support you because you're gay. Ron Smith, face to face, you go to a TPUSA event and they hate you. They ask you, how are we going to win the culture war with anal sex? How can you be gay? How can we win a culture war with your gay blackness? You're black and gay. You are everything that we hate. Gay, and then you're black. We hate black people and we hate gay people. They tell us to him to his face. And he runs to CNN and whines and cries. And Vivek doing the same thing. Having to eat it. Candace Owens. Having to eat it from Ben Shapiro time and 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 time again. How many times had they need to say it that they hate black, brown, and any minorities, period? The most influential of them all keep saying it. We hate y'all. And you think you're going to vote for him? Donald Trump? You think he's different? This is Ann Coulter. She's no different than Donald Trump. They're the same damn way. They're no different. They're no different. Set this shit to his face.
Bruh, the contrast in his face. From which he was joking about black people, right? Oh, he, to say, listen, you're an Indian, and I'm not gonna vote for you. It is stark, bruh.
Yeah, stark.
The chef's kiss. He goes from laughing to all, okay. So dumb. That's what all these simpletons are. They're just naive, freaking, just useful idiots. That's what they are. For the white constituents that they, you know, love to placate to.
Exactly. Useful idiots. They don't see you as anything else. You think that they actually support you? You think they actually support you, Vivid? What right-wing individual supports you, Vivid? They don't support you. They hate you, Vivid. They hate everything about you. They think that you are a terrorist. They think you're a terrorist. And then to make it worse, as you Big Pharma as well. Why would they even come close to actually trying to support you? Come on now. It's so frightening obvious that they would treat you like that. And I love it. Every time you see this happen to some right-wing idiot, it's beautiful. It's delicious. I tried to tell you. It's just the best thing known to man. I have never seen something like that. Directly to your face. Like, I expect to see, you know, I expect to see, all right, but not directly to your face, though. Like, directly to your face, bruh? Like, no joke, directly to your face? And you had to sit there and eat it? You had to sit there and just eat like Pac-Man. Yum, 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 yum. And to be told this directly to your face, man, and you still go out there and support him? Like, a 360 should have happened immediately after that interview. Oh, yeah, I'm done. I'm not supporting Donald Trump. You know, I'm not for this right-wing nonsense. If you support me and me only, you gotta understand. You know, I'm not gonna support this right-wing bullshit. Right? I can't support it. How can I? I can't do it. This isn't me. I can't do it. I'm done. That's how it'll be. It'll be a quick switch. I'm done. One time. I can't be like Rob Smith trying to come out here and try to attack black people again. Nigga, you already done came on CNN and whined and cried about the grapers. We know how you really are. When it brought to you and brought to your face is a whole complete different story. Now that it has it and time had passed by and no one gave a shit. So now you gotta go back to the conservative drawing board, right? Hey, at that time I'll call it audible. You know, Omaha, right? Omaha, changing that. Omaha, kill, kill, kill. Omaha, right? Guy called audible. And that what we were doing beforehand ain't working. Right? What we're doing beforehand ain't working. You know. Kill, kill, kill. Omaha. Right? Because that ain't working no more. I can't go that route. You doing this to my face. To my face. How can I accept that? That's an embarrassment. I can't. I gotta change. I gotta do something different. I gotta listen to somebody different. I gotta put something different in my ears. I gotta do something different. I gotta be about something different. I'm sorry. Sorry. I'm through. Can't do it. Right. Can't do it. Done. I'm done. We gotta change. You know, I can see why Candace Owens did what she did. It's already too late for her though, because she came and had it to her face already beforehand. But hey, it had to be a change. You know, I'm not gonna go out there and try to, you know, placate to, you know, African Americans. I already know I ain't gonna be able to get them. You know, but I'm just going to be me. I'm going to be real. I can't do it no more. I'm going to tell people, yeah, this is real me. I tried doing that bullshit, but nah, can't do it no more. Change the subject, change the venue, change the ideology. I got everything going, like, I'll take down the Thomas Sowell posters. I already know he's a fucking loser anyway. I already done debunked half of his shit because the only thing he talks about is a bunch of his anecdotal reasons why he can't do shit. Because he was a loser ass idiot as a child. Don't mean that anyone else can't get paid money. You know, I wouldn't be paid. $17 an hour was kind of rich for your blood back during your time period when you was in school and when you was a kid. Yeah, you shouldn't be getting paid 17 when, you know, gas is a 25 cent and milk is like 10 cent. Right, you can actually get penny candy, right? Yeah, $70 an hour is going to be a little bit too much. But now that, you know, gas is like $3 and almost $7 in certain areas, you know, gallon of milk is like basically $5 a gallon, right? You know, $20 an hour is not that big of an ordeal. You're not going to miss it. Right. Different story. He was an idiot. He couldn't be trusted with money. Doesn't mean that anyone else shouldn't be. I'm sorry. I don't care if you're a kid. What you gonna do with the money anyway? oh, I'm going to blow it on Nike shoes and stuff like that. Oh, good. That means increase the GDP. Because now those shoes are getting off those shelves in those retail stores. That gives those retail sales associates actual some medium being in the stores and whatnot. Because customers are coming and buying the shoes. Oh, you're going to spend it on going to the movies. Oh, good. This gives those, you know, sales associates in that's at the concession stands because you're going to buy some popcorn, some candy, some nachos, right? It gives those customer service associates that's going out there cleaning up the bathrooms and whatnot and pointing you to the right direction in the movie theaters, and then the same thing with those individuals that are actually running the movies. Yeah, give all of them some reason to be in the damn movie theaters, right? So, yeah, I can't find the reason why I'm spending money or something, you know, be a problem. We need to have that, you know, excess money. That's a problem. We don't have that right now. Not a lot of people have excess money to spend on fruitless dumb shit. You know, you'll have to make people that can buy a PlayStation without actually needing to buy a PlayStation. Right? What do you mean needing to buy a PlayStation? By needing to buy a PlayStation, I mean they need it for their sanity. You know, like me. You know, I need the video game so I can go to my quiet place and be able to go and just unload and upload my mind into a game and worry about the achievements and stuff like that on the game while I had to worry about reality, right? That type of thing. But anyway, as I was saying, at this point in time, I would call an audible and change. Vivid. How many times you had to be told directly that they don't support you? They don't. And it's because you're Indian. And this is not the first time I heard about that in the first place. I heard beforehand because they asked some Trump supporters and Republicans if they would vote for Vivek Ramaswamy, and a lot of them said no because he's Muslim or Indian or whatever the hell, because he's brown, basically. How many times you got to hear that and be told that directly to your face, and you still want to be a part of this goddamn party? Really? Like, really, brah? Really? I couldn't do that. I couldn't do that. I couldn't. You got eviscerated by Ann Coulter, and you couldn't do shit. Stop it. Like, for real. You couldn't do shit to stop it. That's the most embarrassing part. And you still gonna stay a part of that goddamn party. Because you are that much of a clown. And yes, the reason why black people don't like you saying, oh, you're very articulate, is because it is derogatory, as you've seen. Because as soon as she said that he's very articulate and smart and all that stuff, she buttered them up and then put them in a goddamn oven and put it on broil. And put it on broil. Because she roasted that motherfucker. To his face. I mean, for real. That's crazy. I couldn't accept that. Nah. Immediately after that, I'm going on social media. I'm going on MSNBC, CNN, I'm going on Fox News, Newsmax, OANN, I'm going on the Ben Shapiro, whatever. I'm going somewhere and saying, look, I'm done with this bullshit. I can't longer be a part of the conservative party. I can't longer be a part of the right. Ann Coulter literally directly told me directly that she likes everything about me, except for the fact that I'm Indian. Something I cannot change is the thing you hate about me. It's my skin color. Sorry. If you like that, can't stay with you. I'm flying the coop. Bye. Deuces. Yeet. Right? All of that. Because I couldn't stand that. Nah. I'm sorry. Well, anyway, this is going to be where I'll end the podcast. I just wanted to bring that to you guys' attention. Vivek Ramaswamy being grilled by Ann Coulter. Later, guys.